Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. And I'm, of course, joined by my big brother, Mr. J.
What up, people?
All right. And we want y'all to hit us up. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And we know y'all a little shy. So if you want, feel free to email us, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. We will take your questions, comments, concerns. We are always encouraging you to email us.
Speaking of emails, before you get started, it's not too late, ladies. And that's all I'm going to say for now.
That's all you're going to say?
Well, I mean, now that you mention it, well, one of our many, many, many supporters, listeners out there, I guess felt a little, like I don't even know what the word is, but giving, I guess you could say, or she felt charity. So, you know, she sent in a picture, but I don't think we can include it on the calendar.
Uh-oh.
I can't even post it on the webpage, man. Well, I could, but that would be so wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like that?
She was feeling very spirited, I must say.
All right.
And the funny thing is like, you don't know, but the person that did it, she's normally not, you know, she's very, very demure, you know.
High and unbecoming.
Yeah, you would never even know. But anyway,
yeah,
you know, let's get started.
All right, let's get started. I mean, we're talking about this game tonight. I don't know. I mean, it's not looking good for Golden State, man.
I remember last week I did say that I would make my I would pick my team after game one.
Man, that's so.
And honestly, I was going with Golden State. I'm not even gonna lie. I was going with Golden State, and I'm not gonna flip flop. You know, but it does look like Cleveland. I tell you what, game four. If Cleveland takes game four, it's a wrap.
Yeah,
it's a wrap.
I don't know what they gonna do, man. They look awful. I mean, Cleveland has taken them out of Eric and Ollie. See, but this is a perfect example of what I like to talk about as a ball player, dudes who grow steroid nuts when it counts the most.
Okay.
These guys.
Elaborate.
Yeah, these guys from Golden State, they're a little scared. I mean, you instead of doing what you do, they shrinking up. See, this is the difference between the big boys and the little boys. Big boys ain't scared. Golden State players, they're scared.
Is that what you're calling it? Scared?
Yeah. I mean, scared, choking, whichever one, the nuts are shrinking up, whichever one you want to call it. I'm calling it like I see it. You see what's happening. They're out there. The stuff that they was normally doing, they got none of that.
Well, I mean, I didn't think of it. I didn't look at it in those terms. I just look at it like, you know, starting at the beginning of the season all the way through the playoffs, they were running on adrenaline. You know, I mean, you know, they had a great season. What are they, like 67 and 15 or something like that?
Exactly.
You know, during the regular season. And, you know, it was like, what was their record at home? Like 39-2?
Right.
Whatever, you know. The playoffs is a different beast. Yeah, they ran through, what, two or three teams before, you know, they got to where they are now. But I honestly think all the way through, especially in the playoffs, they You know how, like, before, like, your next game, you always get, like, nowadays, like, what doesn't matter, you know, what sport you're in, you always get that footage or you get video of your of the team that you're going to face next, so you know how to practice for them or how to plan for them. I don't think that they were really watching any footage on Cleveland. I think they were just saying, okay, well, we know what Cleveland's got, but we're just going to stick with what we do best. Yeah. And it's not working because they were all season long for the most part. I mean, you had Kevin Love a couple of games, and you had, you know, Kyrie a couple of games. But now that this is like the playoffs and the championships, Kyrie played a little bit. Kevin, you know, he ain't coming back till next year. So if you didn't prepare for
you're missing the second and third best player on the squad.
Exactly.
And you are life and death with a diminished, depleted team.
Exactly. And the sad thing about it, it's not, I mean, you got Shumpert and you got, what's his face from the two from New York, you know, that were in the trade.
Right.
Everybody, all the replacement pieces that Cleveland now has, I'm not going to say they're playing bad. You're not playing great. But you mean to tell me that Golden State doesn't have an answer for that? That's what pisses me off.
Well, they obviously don't.
If you compare the benches, just the bench, not the starting five, but, you know, players 6 through 10, on paper, Golden State has a better team on paper.
Well, no shit. But,
you know,
the game ain't being played on paper. The game being played in their face. And, you know, all year, They was talking, and I hate to say it, I'm agreeing with Charles Barkley here. All year he been saying the same thing, and it came to life all of a sudden. Unless they step up and play better, Cleveland's gonna have their first title.
Oh yeah. Well, like I said, Game 4 is what, Thursday or Friday?
Oh, this is a huge game.
If Cleveland gets. It does. If Cleveland gets the next game, Game 5, I can guarantee you, Cleveland. If they take Game 4, they'll take Game 5.
Yeah, LeBron will score 60 points.
Well, shit. Tonight he had what? Like 40. He had 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. So come on. And it's not like he's getting these points because the rest of his team isn't playing.
Right.
LeBron's just playing at that next level that, you know, right, we know he can play at. Right. His team is helping him, but, you know, it's not like he's not passing the ball or giving it open.
I'm looking like this. Devin Vadova should not get 20 points in the game on you.
No. This guy, I mean, yeah, he played international. He's got experience. But honestly, you can't tell me there's nobody on Golden State that can't control, that can't, you know, keep him at bay. You cannot tell me that there's nobody on that team that can't stick this dude and hold him down to, even if he gets 10 to 15 points, I ain't mad at that. But for him to get 20 points a game?
Obviously not. Well, he's not averaging 20 points a game.
Well, but he's got 20, but I'm just saying he's getting 20.
He's affecting the game.
Yeah.
And it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all.
What else is going on? I mean, it's just four more games maybe, you know. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, of course. We gotta at least give a shout out to the things that crazy people do.
What's on the list this week?
Well, there's a guy who thought that doing a drive-through marriage proposal in the McDonald's that he and his girl met 2 years ago in LA. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Yeah, we gonna I'm gonna hook it up," and he had on the chicken nugget box, he had the engagement ring put in the chicken sandwich, and put the little hidden camera in the car because I guess it was a special moment for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when she saw it, she's like, "This is a joke. You're not serious. This is not what you do. You can't."
He had to see that coming.
Well, see, and that's the thing. As a guy, you got to, I mean, if you're talking about marriage, you got to know who you with. And obviously, she's like, nah, I'm not accepting no ring in the chicken sandwich.
Well, I guess that was his way of, you know, surprise, surprise. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, everybody, you know, nowadays, you know, everybody, you know, whatever, dudes out there trying to be creative. You know, you do what you can to surprise her. And I think now, you know, because you mentioned that, a lot of dudes aren't just, you know, I mean, I'm not questioning if they love her.
I do have to say that caller, I just missed your call. If you don't mind calling back. Oh.
Call us back. But what I am saying is, like, are you doing it to...
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. Hello. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Are you masturbating on the air? Is that what we getting? Yeah. All right. Well, caller. Yeah. That was entertaining.
Well, as I was, yeah. Call us back. Get that antenna fixed. Call us back. They might have, you know, I don't know. They might have Cricket or T-Mobile or something. I don't know. Okay. Call us back. But as I was saying, like, dudes nowadays is like, I'm not questioning whether or not they love whoever they're proposing to, but I guess now it's like more of like an event. Like, they got to think of ways, creative ways just to propose. And I'm like, all that, you know, extra stuff you're doing, it's not going to play into whether or not they say yes or no. Sometimes when you do too much, it can be overwhelming to, you know, to the woman or whomever, you know, because now they're put in a position like, oh my God, it's like he did this big production and there's like 50,000 people watching. And now, you know, I have to say something. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I'm going a little bit overboard, but you know, like when dudes propose at like basketball games or something like that, then it's on the Jumbotron. Now, come on now, really? You know? But, you know, people say, well, you know, Jay, you know, you're not married. I'm like, well, you know, even if I was going to propose to somebody, I wouldn't do it that way. You know, that's just me, though.
I feel you.
You know,
I do want to I want to talk about something else that I saw. They had the Muppets, you know, and I like the Muppets. Don't get
me. Oh, boy.
But they had the Muppets singing Old Dirty Bastard's Shimmy Shimmy, Y'all. So I'm like, you know, I don't know.
Baby, I like it raw.
Right.
Baby, I like it raw.
I don't know if I'm feeling that. You know, it's like the not.
It depends. Was it the Muppets, like from
Yeah, it's the Muppets.
The ones that came on Primetime with Animal the Drummer?
Right.
Are we talking about the other, you know, okay.
No, those Muppets, they came and put it out there. I'm like, I don't know if I'm feeling that.
Well, is it a video? Can we refer to a video or?
There's a video.
Where's the video? I mean, I can't do it now, but, you know,
yeah,
I'd like to check that out.
Video. If you look up Muppets, Shimmy Shimmy, Y'all, Old Dirty Bastard.
On what, YouTube?
Yeah.
Somebody, please, if you're listening, somebody go, you know, to the website, pull it up, and let us know.
Oh, it's there. Trust me. It is there. And, I mean, at first I give a shout-out to the homie, Old Dirty Bastard's little brother, Silksky, frequent show contributor. I'm sure he's like, who I got to touch up. I can already see him. If you look,
I bet you, but I bet you, OD, I bet you, you know, he's honored. You know, I bet you Wu-Tang is probably honored, you know? Come on now.
You remember.
That's when you know, I mean, not that you want to be, but you are mainstream when you get that type of
trip. Muppet love.
Yeah.
Or they just taking advantage because you ain't around.
I think it's Muppet love.
Okay. All right.
I mean, come on. Why? I mean, all the groups out there, whatever, you know, why, you know, why take advantage of that? You know, it's like, I think it's whoever thought of the idea was probably a fan of ODB or was aware of, you know, him, you know, from when he was probably younger. and just thought it would be a cool thing to do.
Well, it's not hard to be a fan of ODB.
Right.
So he was definitely one of them cats that...
Not to jump off subject for a minute, because, you know, we got a show to do, but could you just imagine for a moment if you had Flavor Flav and ODB doing, like teaming up, doing an album together? Just imagine that for a moment.
Well, first, it wouldn't get done.
Sure it would. It'd be high as hell, but...
It'd take like 8 years for them to get out.
Between court appearances...
I mean, Dirty had like 800 warrants.
You know?
I mean, he's a platform.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be seriously interesting. I would, you know, I think if it would have happened, you know, if ODB was alive today, or, you know, even back then, if they tried to make it happen, I think I would have probably paid to see that.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's anybody who wouldn't have been watching. ODB, you know, and Flavor Flav? Man, I don't know if a whole album would have been good, but
just one cut,
and to see them perform that sucker live, because you know ODB was whatever.
A lot of times they say he was like high on, you know, stage with medicine, syrup, whatever he was taking, but you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, on with the show.
Yeah, you know what? Since we here. We just going to go on break, and if for those of you who've never listened and never heard him, we just going to show you.
Like an early break? Okay.
Yeah, this ODB. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all.
Oh, fuck, you can't even sing. Can't sing, but this person. Can't sing, but this person. Ooh, baby, I like it.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's up, y'all?
347-826-7435. Caller, if you done masturbating, feel free to call us back. 347-26.
Wash your hands before you touch that phone.
Well, hey, it's their phone. If they want to hold on.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
You want to hold on to them.
Nasty, sticky. Just.
Is it nasty, though?
I'm just saying.
Is it nasty? It's never nasty.
It's a good thing. Everybody should do it. You know? Everybody should do it. But that's a subject for another moment, another time.
Is it a subject for another moment?
I mean, we can go there. I mean, you know, I've had quite a few requests for that, but, you know.
You've had quite a few requests for that?
I've had people, friends, lady friends, who, you know, during the course of a conversation, you know, next thing you know, 1 minute is all quiet, and, you know, like, hey, what's going on? Yeah.
What?
Why are you getting all quiet? Like, you surprised?
What? Nah, I ain't all quiet, and I'm not surprised.
I'm just, you know what, because, you know, I'm not even going to say this is a family show, because it's not, but I'm just saying this much. It's a good thing. People should do it more. If more people did it, I don't think there'd be as much anger and stress out there.
You think that the anger and stress will go away?
Some of it, yeah. Come on now. You don't think so?
I think so.
Okay. And if there's anybody out there listening and they would like to discuss that, you know, call in. 347-826-7435. Matter of fact, call in while you're doing it.
I think we already had that.
But yeah, but they hung up.
But
anyway.
It got too good.
Any other craziness going on out there?
Well, you know, people were upset. There was a Las Vegas club that was recruiting high school graduates.
Why? Well, I mean, I can understand them being upset, but the reality is, that where do you think they come from? Where do you think these girls is coming from?
Right, little darlings, and they're encouraging recent high school graduates to apply.
Yeah, because it's legal. I mean, if 17, especially if it's a non-alcoholic bar, at 18, you know, you can work there.
Yeah, the slogan says now audition in the class of 2015.
Yeah,
pay your way through college, which is what we
come on now. I know too many that, you know, oh, I'm going to college, you know, I'm doing it. Yeah, okay. 10 years later, yo, what's going on? Oh, you know, I'm still doing my thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're in your college, man. It take a while. You got to get your credit.
Man, whatever.
It's hard to get classes, man.
Yeah. 10 years. Look, when I say I know people in the game, you know, I'm saying I know people that was in the game 10 years ago that should have been out then that's still doing it now. Okay.
Okay.
There's no life in it. I don't care. You know, don't get off. And see, that's the funny thing about it. A lot of people get caught up, like, what they see in the videos or what they see on, like, some of these reality shows, you know, like, oh, you go to Atlanta, you know, all these girls out of Atlanta, Houston, and all these cities making all this money. The reality is, you know, okay, but if you're not putting it in, you know, if you're not investing, if you're not doing something smart with that money, I'm not going to knock what you're doing, but it's the B plan, it's the retirement plan. If you're not putting that money into something for a rainy day, then why are you there? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah, well, you talking about a rainy day.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm saying, like, you can't do that the rest of your life. Eventually, it's going to come a day where you may, like, break your... Something may happen where you can't dance anymore. So, okay, so in, like, 4 or 5 years, you know, and a lot of that money's tax-free. You done accumulated all this money, you know. Most of the girls, they wasted. They go out and buy all this expensive stuff, you know, that they don't need. And then they wonder why 5 years down the road, if they didn't get that degree or whatever that they went, you know, that they were supposed to get, They're stuck in that cycle.
All right. Well,
that's all they know.
Well, we're gonna turn the tables here and talk about being stuck in the cycle. You know, there's always stereotypes about disabled people, whatnot, and what they want and do not want. Well, in Toronto, there's going to be a sex party. And
I'm sorry, I could have sworn you said, what did you say again?
I said, in Toronto, there's going to be a sex party for disabled people. The Advocates for Disability Awareness. They say that they're tired of people thinking those with disabilities don't want sex or intimacy. And so what they're doing, they're doing the event on August the 14th, you know, get you.
And you got the time and the date and everything, huh?
I got the date for you, just in case.
Wait, for who? For who? I know you didn't just say for me.
I wasn't implying that, man. I'm saying it's called Deliciously Disabled. And the event will let in people both with and without disabilities when it opens on the 14th. And it's at a place called Buddies in Bad Times Theater, which is an LGBTQ cabaret and stage space. And I guess the event's guests, they say it's like room for 25 people with wheelchairs plus 40 standing, will be able to see a burlesque performance, wear a mask, or attend a workshop on toys, as well as they can have sex too. You got nothing to say on that?
I got nothing, because I'm trying.
What are you trying?
I'm trying, because my mind is going between, there's a joke in there, and then there's a side of me that says, okay, even if the joke is funny, there's somebody out there that's listening that's going to be like, you're wrong for that. You know, you're going to hell for that.
Well,
so
I'm like, hey, it's a...
No, you know what? See, I'm not going to say it can't happen, because, I mean, obviously, I mean, I've heard of, like, quadriplegics being able to get their wives, you know, pregnant or whatever.
Well,
just, you know, she basically...
Well, let me ahead. Ask you this. Would you, if you was at an establishment, there was a party, and somebody who's a quadriplegic or in a wheelchair or whatnot hit on you, would you entertain it?
No.
No,
because I would feel weird. No, I would feel very weird.
Why are you feeling weird?
Because it doesn't. It's not even an attraction, a turn on, or anything.
If they was attractive,
it doesn't matter. I mean, there's nothing that. See, you're laughing. You're laughing because what would you do? I mean, come on now, for real.
I asked you a question, man.
All right, I'm going to give you an example.
Give me a reason.
I'm going to give you a quick story. Back in the day, and I'm talking like, this is going back to like the mid-90s, okay?
I'm taking it way back,
yeah. I was at the spot. It was like an after-party spot. But anyway, that doesn't matter. The point is, there were dancers there, right?
Uh-huh.
Most of the girls that were there, I knew, because the dude that was booking the party, he was a promoter. He, you know, that's what he did. And he said, man, I got something special for the fellas tonight, right? And I'm like, word, you know, he do good parties. So anyway, the girls were coming through, you know, they had their big duffel bags or whatever, and they never looked the same outside, you know, during the day that they do when they get on stage. So anyway, this one girl came through, and I noticed that she was limping a little bit, but I didn't think that. And I said, well, maybe she hurt her knee, maybe her shoes too small or something. So about an hour later, you know, it's getting crazy in there. You know, this dance is all, you know, girls making their money. And then all of a sudden you heard the DJ, you know, make an announcement, and everybody started, you know, turning towards the stage, and there were spotlights and everything. And this girl came out. I kid you not. She was nice looking, you know, I guess with the makeup on and everything.
Uh-huh.
Girlfriend was an amputee.
Okay.
And she got up there. She had like, to this day, I can still hear it in my ear. This one dude said, she got 1.5 legs. She was cut like right below the knee. I'm sorry. I mean, she mad about it. But the weird thing about it is she made money. But it was just like, I couldn't, no. It was wrong.
Okay.
You laughing.
I'm laughing because you're like, yeah, I mean, she's cut below. I mean, but I mean, you started off by saying she looked good. She just had.
She did. Right. Because you asked me, what if she looked good? Right. That was my point. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
It doesn't matter because she's
no.
an amputee. So if you was invited to go to the cabaret there, you would say no?
I'd probably pass. I'd be like, no. Because the purpose of going is, you know, you want to see some things and you want to enjoy yourself. How are you going to enjoy yourself if what you see is not really appeasing to your eye, if you're not attracted to that?
But you just,
that's just like if you go to a club and ain't nothing but ugly girls in there. They can be they can have nice personalities, probably scantily clad or whatever, and physically you'd be like, man, she got a banging body. But the minute you look at her face, you're gonna be like, oh man, who let King Kong in the door? Come on now.
King Kong?
Whatever, you know.
Cold-blooded.
I'm just saying, you know, and I mean, jumping off subject, and then people say, oh, you know, men are just visual. Yes, we are visual. Everybody's visual. If God gave you the ability to see, you're visual. So you can't sit there and tell me, like, oh, well, you know, she may not be that attractive, but she's got a nice personality. Screw the personality. A man is not going to the strip club to see personality. Okay? You're not? No!
So if they were just dancing with no enthusiasm, like,
Well, no, come on now. Then they ain't going to make no money. But the reality is, even the ugliest girl knows that she's got to be, she's not going to focus on the dudes that, you know, that don't like her, because they know that, you know, no matter how nice her body is, she ain't going to make no money. But she will focus, she will find that one dude in the crowd that's, you know, piss-ass drunk, and she'll focus on him all night.
Piss-ass drunk?
Just ask Trump, because he's just a happy, you know, he's going to give money up anyway.
Mm.
So,
all right.
Anyway, what else is going on out there? Don't get me started.
All right. Well, you already was started. So.
All right. Well, you know, next time we out together, you know, we'll go and I'll prove my point.
Yeah, okay.
See? Right. You don't want to go now, see?
we go with a guest. I mean, a listener's question.
Okay.
This is from Camel Girl, who asks, why are men so thirsty? And if you don't mind, I would like to answer this.
I don't mind. Go ahead. Well, you already know I got my answer.
Yeah. I mean, Camel Girl, I think what you need to understand that, you know, men are attracted to you is a good thing, and say a man is thirsty, it could be the other way around, as my co-host Mr. J here just illustrated, that there could be some looks that'll go your way that would not be solicited if people are like, yeah, you are not attracted.
Let me ask a question. You there?
I'm here. Ask me a question.
Why are you being so nice?
I'm not being nice. I'm talking it through first, and then I'm gonna say, well, you are Camel Girl, so I'm gonna assume that what comes with Camel Girl is camel toe. And you know, there's some guys they would see the camel toe edge. What we call the towage. If they see the toe. Yeah, they see the toe. And,
or the knuckle.
Right, that'll make them thirsty. I mean, I'm going to say this. If you don't want guys to come on to you, you might want to turn off the Kool-Aid.
Okay. You done?
I'm done.
First of all, I'm tired of this question because, you know, females, and I'm not going to say all females, some females, why are men so thirsty? All right, you notice how, I mean, heterosexual men, are always going to be attracted to women for various reasons, you know, whether it's the way you look, your body, whatever. But when you start throwing around that term thirsty, I'm just talking about now in the now, you know, with the social media, realize that if most of the men out there that you call thirsty did not give you the attention that you claim that they're giving you, or, you know, whatever, then you'd be upset because nobody's paying you attention. That goes for all the women out there, whether it's on social media that's posting 10,000 selfies a day, or, you know, they're in some of these Facebook groups and, you know, posting pictures and all that. Or even if it's like day-to-day interaction when you're walking down the street, you're going to work or whatever. If you don't want the attention, I'm not saying that you warrant it by the way you dress or whatever, but at the same time, if we did not pay attention to you, then what would you say? You know? Because women are thirsty, but, you know, you don't hear men complaining. So why are you complaining?
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that guy to complain about thirsty women.
Exactly. You know, I'm still waiting. A situation where, you know, a dude comes at you and gives you, like, real, like, gives you, like, the type of attention that, you know, is, like, stalkerish, or you feel like your safety is threatened. That's totally different. But, I'm just tired of females like, oh, he's so thirsty. He's a thirst bomb. He's this. Here, give him this bucket of water or something. If these dudes out here that are giving you that attention didn't give it to you, and yet some of them are a little bit overboard, then what would you be saying? You'd be upset because you're posting all these pictures and ain't nobody liking them, or nobody's looking at you, nobody's talking to you. So you know what? Go over to the corner with your wannabe thirsty self and shut up.
Wow, wannabe thirsty self?
Well, you know, or thinking that everybody's as thirsty as you claim them to be.
All right.
And this wasn't directed at Camel, but I'm just saying, for people that keep asking that stupid question. Got quiet now. Yeah, call up 347-826-7435. Yeah. Email it. smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Attention to.
Yeah, I think you might have cut down on some of your thong shot listeners.
That's okay. No, because the ones that want to send in those thong shots, they're going to send them in anyway, because I'm not talking about them. But, you know, the ones that complaining, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I'm on the book, I see the comments, oh, these dudes are so thirsty. But then 5 minutes later, you're posting, you know, the infamous bathroom shots or the infamous angled shots of you laying on the bed or something.
That whole bathroom shot thing, I'm sorry, ladies.
Clean the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, and this ain't even clean the bathroom, but I'm gonna tell you, there's nothing sexy about the bathroom shot.
Nope, not unless you ain't butt naked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I see the bathroom shot, I'm just thinking you're in the bathroom. It's just
exactly. What did you just finish doing, or what you about to do?
It's not the visual for me.
Yeah,
maybe it's for some. There's some sites for that.
or some of them got a nerve to, like, you know, take pictures in their bedroom. My thing is, clean the bedroom. Make sure that, you know, if it's going to be a bed shot, make sure that the bedspread at least matches the comforter. Make sure the pillows match. Don't be taking these shots where you got, because I'll go interior decorator on you in a minute.
Y'all hear that? Mr. J is like paying attention to your.
That's right. I pay attention to all that. You know?
I'm quite that detailed.
Well, I mean, it just gets to a point where you see so much of it that you could sometimes, you can tell those who took the time, who put some thought in it, to those who, you know, just want to get, you know, that just really don't care. Well, and the ones that really don't care are the ones that...
About it being a devil's advocate here, what if it's just like some spontaneous, you know what, I'm going to take some sexy pictures.
Okay,
does it matter that much to you?
My point is this. Even if it's spontaneous to that point, you know, you just spur the moment thing, you can't tell me you can't take like 5 minutes out of that spontaneity to like clean up the room a little bit. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm being a little bit anal with the whole everything's got to match. But I'm just saying, a lot of times you see some of these pictures and you're like, wow, really? You couldn't put a bedspread on the mattress?
Yeah. You know? Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, because if I see a little, you know, I mean, because being the artist that I am, yeah, I can pass on the matching sheets and comforters, whatnot, because I'm focused a little.
And make sure the kids ain't in the picture.
Well, yeah.
Make sure the dog is not, you know, nobody wants to see, you know, Frisky the cat, you know, sitting on your pillow while you're taking a picture. I can care less about the cat.
Frisky the cat.
I was going to say something else, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I've heard it from the ladies too. Some of these dudes, come on now. I've never quite understood that, you know. I just never quite understood the whole selfie thing, but I know just as many dudes out there taking selfies every damn day, like 2-3 times an hour. Dude, are you at work or what are you doing?
I'll pass on the selfie tip.
Yeah.
On that, you know? We gonna go on break, man.
I'm gonna go get me a glass of water and calm.
You get a glass of water, and this is Common, sold by the pound.
I'm coming in a harder way, so keep the cross over. gotta go, go, to go. Sex, sex, to go. Ha, ha, to go. Sex, sex, to go.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Common, sold by the pound.
That's when Common was a rapper.
Hey, Common never stopped being a rapper.
Come on now, he's commercial now. He ain't doing it like he did back in the day.
Are you serious?
Dog, I'm talking about his early stuff. His early stuff was better than the stuff he's doing now. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay, do I have to pull up You Look So Sweet when he...
You can pull up whatever. You can pull up whatever. Listen to what you just played.
Right.
Listen to what you just... That was hip-hop. That was back in the day when people was booming it in their Jeeps. You know, in the 90s. That was hip-hop. The stuff, anything in the 2000s and now, come on now. For real.
Are you serious?
Especially anything from...
I'm going to disagree with you.
Anything from 08 to now.
Oh, he put out one of my favorite songs last year.
That may have been your favorite song, but I'm talking about as a whole. I'm telling you.
I still love her.
Okay, other than that, what else?
Okay.
I'm not saying he's wet. I'm just saying he needs to go back to what he used to do way back in the day.
No, that it ain't his time no more.
Yeah.
He had his time.
Anyway, so what else is going on?
Why are you hating?
I'm not. No, trust me. I'm not hating on Common. I'm not hating on Common.
6 years later, he still gotta do something for you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because what's out there now, it sucks. It's terrible.
That's not his fault.
No, it's not. But I'm just saying, how are the young ones going to learn if they don't listen to the old? If they don't.
They know. They look. It's not the older cat's responsibility to make these younger cats.
No, you're right. But I mean, come on now. I'm just saying we're going off script now. But I'm just saying, a lot of stuff out there is just straight crap. It's just straight crap.
Okay.
Crap.
Not disagreeing.
For no damn reason.
All right. Well.
But anyway, moving on.
About straight crap, McKinney, Texas, of course. I think you kind of know about it. If you don't know about it, officers going to the pool party, pulling out a gun on girls in bathing suits because they was all...
The whole situation's stupid, but you know what? From all the video footage and the news footage and everything that I've seen, you can't even blame all the other cops. You know what, in my opinion? Because the main cop, the one that they just announced today, retired from the force.
Was not a rookie.
No, it ain't got nothing to do with this. I'm just saying, the main cop, the one that just retired, by the time that they got to the scene, he had already caused a lot of,
right.
From other eyewitness reports, he had already caused a lot of the commotion and everything. When those other cops got there, if anything, it wasn't like they were feeding off of what he was doing. They were just trying to see what the hell was going on.
Right. I mean, and
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, they won't release all the footage, obviously.
Well, I mean, what, the footage from the police cameras? Because it doesn't matter. I mean, they got footage from all them cell phones that were taken.
So that's what I'm saying. They know that what they did. I mean, it's a pool party. Tell them, hey, keep it down.
Right. And then the thing is, it's funny because the people that actually called the cops, or the lady, whoever, the resident of that area that called the cops, called complaining about one thing. All right, basically she didn't want all those black teenagers at the community pool house.
Right.
That's what it was.
Right.
All right. Then, now that all these other reports are coming up, there were white teens there that weren't from the way they were explaining it, a lot of kids found out about the party through Twitter. So you can't necessarily blame the kids that were throwing them or whoever threw the part. You can't blame them. But the teen that they did interview, he said, even when a lot of kids found out about it, you know, a lot of them were being turned away, but, it, you know, they weren't, like, being disruptive. It was the security guard who just was throwing people, you know, just turning people away and being, yeah,
top,
you know,
security.
Top flight security, which was acting cool. So, you know, but anyway, I mean, the bottom line is, ironically, you know, you're not going, I mean, the major media is not really playing up on it, but, you know, it's not, you know, even though the black teens or those young black girls were the ones that got the brunt the beat down, there were a lot of other kids there, that, you know, black and white, that said, it, you know, it was the cop and the security guard.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at it, he's on top of a girl. He's got his...
Oh, yeah, that, yeah.
He's
yeah.
got his knee in her back, and it's like, I didn't see anything that showed that she was a danger. I didn't.
And you weren't going to see anything because she wasn't in danger.
That showed that the cop was in any way, shape, or form in any type of danger. Even the top flight security, I didn't see anything that showed that he was in any type of danger. So
no, and it just goes
to show you have a, once again, that circle of ignorance that you can't even. All he had to do was show up, hey, keep it down, and then go back and go get his donuts, and the world would have still spinned.
Yeah, you know, but unfortunately, you know.
That's where we at.
I mean, and the sad thing, well, I was watching CNN earlier, and they said that he just basically voluntarily retire. So they accepted his resignation. But you know, behind closed doors, they were like, look, dude, you know, we can't even cover you.
Right.
You know, but, you know, and he's thinking that he's going to avoid any, you know, like internal affairs still can't come after him. But you still got to remember there's a civil case that can come out of it.
Well, I mean, we'll see how it goes, but I think that he's just going to retire, get his money, and move on.
Well, yeah, but what money? I mean, he ain't been there long. They said he wasn't even on the force long enough to get, maybe 10 years. What are you going to get on a 10-year pension?
Well, I mean, but that he's not going to jail. I mean, and
we don't know that. You don't know that.
Come on, man.
Because they said,
You can kill people and not go to jail. You think he's...
Well, yeah, I mean, I would like to think this would be one time where he, you know, his ass has been hung out to dry by himself.
Stop it.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, we do know. We have a lot...
Well, you're right. We have a lot of
empirical data, as they would call it. We have a lot of data that shows that it doesn't matter. There's no way in hell he's going to jail.
But wouldn't you be surprised if he did? Like, if they found him guilty on whatever charges they could find, you know, civil rights.
Yeah. Come on, man.
So you don't even think if it goes to, like, just because he violated her civil rights, you don't even think they'll find him guilty on that?
No.
Because that's a civil. That's not like you're going to jail. That's just basically monetary.
I'll say this. You have more of a chance of me going out on a crack binge. Yeah.
I think, I mean, they, you know, her parents ain't saying whether or not they're going to file charges, but I'm pretty certain they're going to file charges.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
they'll try.
If they file, yeah, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily, that civil case doesn't necessarily have to take place in McKinney or wherever that was. That's like right outside of Dallas. They can take it to the county courthouse. You know what I'm saying?
But look, if you know what happens here in America, you know,
but no, I'm not talking about from the criminal standpoint.
Right.
We already know that he'll probably dodge some criminal charges. I'm just talking about from the, you know, from a monetary civil, you know, like her rights were violated. So there's no way in the world that the city attorney can.
Right, and here's my point. One, he's not with the police.
He can still be sued.
And so he can be sued, and you just said what money he has, which is nil. So,
well, I mean,
you're going to pay these lawyer fees to get nothing.
No, but hear me out. And I'm just going by what was, you know, what the defense attorneys on the show said. If it does turn into a civil case, they can basically take his pension. So he's asked out. If he's found guilty, but they can sue him for the pension.
Yeah, but you said 10 years, right?
What doesn't matter. That's a lump sum. If after 10 years service, let's say he's due to get, I don't know, let's say $70,000. That's her money.
He's not getting $70,000 for 10 years.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, with 10 years service, they're not going to give him one lump sum.
Okay, I know that. Whatever happens, he's going to be all right.
I don't think so. I don't think so. All right. Because they didn't try to. Well, what they're saying is like the internal, even before he, you know, in the last couple of days, nobody on in the police department or at the city attorney's office was trying to, how do you say, shield him from this. Not even his own police union. So everybody's like, this dude is just straight wrong. You know, there's no way we can defend him.
Okay. Well, once again, they can't defend him. Doesn't mean that you would even want to spend your money trying to get what
you. Well, put it this way. If you were her parents, were you just going to let it go? If you're her father, you just going to let that go?
I mean, I would try to beat him up, but that's a whole different.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying in reality, you know, you're not going to know, you know, unless you're going to sit outside and try to find out where he lives. If you don't know where he lives, are you just going to sit back and let him get off scot-free, or are you at least going to try to, you know, get him on civil charges? Because if it's a civil charge, you know the FBI or the government, the federal government, can come in and, right, you know, say you violated civil rights.
Right, and then they'll set the precedent for police brutality and winning in court, and they're not going to set the precedent.
Well, you never know. You never know.
Okay.
I don't want to put any bad karma on her because, well, you know, a negative on her because, you know, she needs it right now.
But it's not bad karma. It's just.
Well, I don't want to think. I'm saying I don't want to think in a negative way that it won't happen for her. I'm hoping it does happen for her. I'm hoping she does get something out of this. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hope that she gets something out of it too.
No, you don't. You are so against this. You do not think it's going to happen.
I'm talking about the reality, brother.
And I'm talking reality, too.
Yeah.
My
point is right and your point is wrong.
Okay, but see, that's the problem. We can't continue to always assume that every case is always going to go against us, regardless what history says. We have to like look at each case and say, okay, well, maybe this will be the one. Maybe this will be the one.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well.
Hello?
We will agree to disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
Well, you know, there was a little thing that came out where they were talking about Jeb Bush and how back in 95, his book, Profiles in Character, he had a chapter called The Restoration of Shame, where he made the case that restoring the art of public humiliation could help prevent pregnancies out of wedlock.
And does he realize when he did his research at that time that the majority of, out of wedlock pregnancies or, you know, whatever, were being done in white communities and not black communities?
Oh, that's not ever going to be the issue. I mean, you know, the press always focus on.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the press. I'm talking about him in general. I mean,
we know. Look, one, his name is Jeb Bush. You know the clan he comes from. And lest people forget, remember, the mama is the one who was walking around in the Superdome talking about, oh, yeah, these people are living good. They're living better than they ever were before.
Well,
so if your parents think like that, it's not shocking that they would, as the child, would think that same way.
So yeah, that's true, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, he says that one of the reasons more young women are giving birth out of wedlock and more young men are walking away from their paternal obligations is that there is no longer a stigma attached to this behavior. No reason to feel shame. So he pointed to like Nathaniel Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter.
where the main character is forced to wear a large A for adulterer on her clothes to punish her for her extramarital affair. So, he's like, yeah.
Okay, so you just lost me there. I'm like, where the hell did this? I mean, I understand the correlation he was trying to make, but
you,
let me just ask you this. Do you think that he ever thought for a moment, okay, is he just talking about women in general who have kids out of wedlock, or is he talking like certain demographics? Because if you look in Hollywood, you know, every other day, you know, the report about some famous, more than likely white star, you know, white actress having a baby with one dude, you know, and then boom, that doesn't work out, and then, you know.
But here's what I'm saying. See, remember, he was the governor of Florida, and in 2001, he actually did this. He declined to veto a bill that required single mothers who did not know the identity of the father to publish their sexual histories in a newspaper.
That didn't go over too well, because then that will require his white constituents who may be affected by that to do the same.
Well, he signed a repeal of the so-called Scarlet Letter Law in 2003 after it was successfully challenged in court. But the point is, he actually was putting that in motion. You know, think about it. You have to publish your sexual history in a newspaper.
Mine would probably, let me stop. Somebody ought to be listening to this and be like, oh, really, Eric, huh? Really? So,
it's like, yeah, I'm going to need the whole front page.
I'm going to need, we might have to do this as a weekly series, you know? I ain't got no shame here, you know, it is what it is, but...
Well, no, I'm just saying in general, the fact that you could think like that and you want to put...
But, like you said, look who we talking about, you know? Who are we talking about here? You know? We're talking about the Bushes, and we're not just Jeb Bush, you know, because he's running for office, but we're talking about people with that mentality. I mean, I can't even say it's like the Republicans, you know? It's just... Because it's beyond that. We're just talking about certain people, certain privileged people who have this distorted way of thinking, you know, and unfortunately they have the money to convince others to buy into what they're thinking or what they're trying to do, you know. And there's people even more powerful than, you know, that secret society 1% out there who... I don't want to say all of them, but I'm pretty certain there's powers that be that, like the Koch brothers or the whatever, you know, it's people like that that fund people like the Bushes and all these other, you know, people out here, and they all buy into this same way of life, this same way of thinking. Think about it, this just like with the the Dugars in that situation.
Yeah,
you know,
their way of thinking is they're winning and whatever we got to do to stay winning.
Yeah, but, and I know you probably won't agree with this, but I see it slowly, slowly starting to chip away. And the reason why I say that is because, not saying that they're losing power, but a lot of the things that they used to get away with, they're no longer getting away with. But now what they're doing is, okay, they're just diverting and going into, you know, they're coming at you from a different direction. You know, it's the same shit, but just in a different way.
Right, but so how is that losing?
It's losing in the sense that, okay, to them, you know, it's losing. Hear me out. It's losing in the sense that, okay, when Obama first took office back in 2008,
mm-hmm,
they were really trying to get him out, you know.
Oh, they were.
In 2012. Yeah, they were.
Really?
But they didn't have, but I mean, if you think about it.
You think about
it? Let me finish. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anybody, they don't have anybody strong enough politically that was, you know, going to get in there and knock him out. I mean, what's his face that ran against him in 2008? What's his name? The former governor of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. That, you know what I'm saying? And then in 2012, and along the way, you've always had McCain, the old war hero. He's never going to do it.
Okay, but I mean, we're gonna put Obama on Mount Rushmore for
what? No, we're not. They're not going to do that. That's never going to happen.
Well, no, I'm saying, but for what has he done?
But
that made him so special? I mean, I'm trying to get what has he enacted that has affected.
What did you expect him to enact?
Well, no.
If you're gonna go there on him, what are you expecting him to enact?
I'm saying that I'm not expecting him to do anything. I expect what happened to be what happens. I mean, whenever, and here's my thing, and this is my theory always. More things happen as far as rights being taken away under Democrats than they ever do under Republicans.
Exactly, because it's not so much the presidency. It's the congressmen and the senators that allow it to happen.
Well, no, the point is rights get taken away under Democrats, and wars happen under Republicans.
Right.
I mean, so I don't see anything that Obama did aside from he can hit a three-pointer that.
Well, I mean, that's being a little bit unfair, but okay, I see your point.
I'm just saying, what has he done? What has he enacted? What has he put out there that was just like, oh my God, it's groundbreaking. It's so.
He got the economy. For argument's sake, he got the economy back up again. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be as good as we want it to be, but it was better than, it was. You got to give him credit for that.
Okay. All right.
You don't agree with that?
I'm like, it was you couldn't get no worse than what it was.
Follow the market, I mean, come on now. I mean, if you follow the market and things like that.
I mean, he bailed out the very guys.
But that was going to happen anyway.
But my point is, but did he try to enact something that was going to bail out your everyday people like us?
Yeah, he did. And what happened to it when it got into this? When it got to Congress?
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but it's like everybody, whether it was his first term or the second term, people who voted for him or just people who, whatever. Everybody had this bar or whatever that they of high expectations.
I didn't have any bar. I had
not you. I'm just saying in general, people had this expectation of things that they thought he should be able to do and things that he was going to do. And I'm like, look, at the end of the day, he's still a politician.
Okay.
Plain and simple.
Right. But see, in your second term, it's not like you can be. I mean, you can be impeached if you do something illegal. But you can advocate for some things that can help.
And you don't think he's done that?
I don't see anything that he's done or advocated for that really moved the needle.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm wrong.
No need to apologize to me. I'm like, okay.
I'm saying in general. Maybe I used the wrong word. I haven't seen anything. I mean, it's sort of like my beef with Michael Jordan. I've never worn a pair of Jordans in my day, and I never will. I mean, because I've always been of the opinion that all he had to do was just come out and say, hey, don't kill each other just to buy my shoes. If he had said that, it would have stopped. And see, that's the kind of power that Obama would have had. If Obama would have said anything about, hey, stop the violence in our communities.
I don't think he has that type of power because he did. I mean, he has come out and said. I mean, maybe not to that level or.
Right.
You know.
I mean, but no. See, what I'm talking about is just saying, acknowledging, and maybe it'll come out the wrong way, but just acknowledging that you black and tell black young men, hey, look, stop that shit.
And see, that's what I'm saying. Those are one of those expectations that we would think, okay, well, I shouldn't have to, I shouldn't have to say that, I shouldn't have to tell him he needs to do this. He should already want to do it.
Right.
And my point is, we really don't, I mean, even though the press follows him everywhere, we don't know you know, half the stuff that he's tried to do, said, whatever, we have to, we're only assuming that he's never said it, or, you know, we don't have it on record. We don't know.
Well, you do know, because if he had said it, it'd have been in every...
I mean, you're right, but who's to say, I mean, you also got to remember, again, what did I say about 5 minutes ago? He's a politician.
Yeah, he's a politician, so...
And there's no, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a politician, but also at the end of the day...
Exactly.
Even though it's 8 years, you know, he's been in, what, 6.5, almost 7 years or whatever, 8 years on the term.
Right.
But... His presidency is always going to be under the magnifying glass. It's always going to be because he's the first, you know, African American president.
And I mean, we look at it. I mean, what's his legacy? I mean, besides the fact that he was the first black president.
Well, again, I said, you know, they're going to look at the things that they're going to look at is probably turning around the economy, getting, you know, he said he's going to get the soldiers out by 2014. He did that. I mean, things like that. They're not going to look at they're not going to look at the little things that we would expect from them. Mm. They're not even going to count that. Yeah. We don't even, you know, we're going to be our own worst critics. Let's just put it out there. We're going to be our worst critics. We're going to be harder on him than other people are. And rightfully so, but at the same time,
well,
all I can say to this is, see, if anybody else had the chance to be in his shoes for a week, would we do the same thing? We can say we wouldn't, or we could say we would do this, but we don't know because we're not in his shoes.
Okay. Yeah, we're not politicians.
Right. But I'm saying, if we had the chance to, you know, they say, well, if you could be king for a day, if you could be president for a day or a week or whatever, what would you do different? We can say we would do this or we would do that different, or we would enact this or we would make this the law or whatever. But reality is, not so much. No.
You couldn't affect the system. I get that. He don't control the economy. He doesn't control the...
Well, no, I'm not talking about... I'm just talking about the system. I'm not talking about, like, the economy. I mean...
Well, no, what I'm saying is he's a figurehead. All presidents are figurehead.
They don't, you know.
Right, they affect nothing.
Right. I mean, even though he can, you know, he'll say one thing or do this or do that, at the end of the day, the decision, yeah, maybe his decision, but it goes through so many channels and so many, you know, everybody's got to vote on this, they got to vote on, or he may have to give up this in order to get that. So, and I'm not making excuses for him, I'm just saying that it is what it is, you know.
Gotcha.
I can at least say, if I ever have children or grandchildren, you know, I live to see that moment. Okay, yeah, he was president.
Yeah.
I don't expect even if we get another black president in, I don't know, what, 10, 20 years or whatever, I don't expect things to change the way I would like to see them. I just don't see it.
Well,
I don't see it.
I would agree.
What else have we got? We got, like, what? 19 minutes or whatever.
We got time. And as far as the time goes, we should lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, we went deep on that one. That's your fault.
I know. Well, in Portland, there was a homeless dude who was he was getting it in. He thought that it was cool to jack off. And
what is up with you and all these, like, go ahead.
Hey, I'm just saying, man. He kept flashing people over and over again. And so the homeless community in that area who used the porta potty, they was tired of him jacking off with the door open in the porta potty. So you know what they did, right?
They flipped it.
Yep, they flipped it. He was trapped up in there. It was kind of funny.
Don't feel bad for him.
I don't.
To be honest, I can't even tell you the last time I even used a porta potty. Even, you know, when you go to, like, a state fair or something, I will walk way across the parking lot where ain't nobody looking and pee on somebody's tire before I go into a porta potty. I'm sorry. It's just nasty.
Yep. And,
that's just nasty.
He was covered in it when he finally freed him.
Who's going to try to arrest him? Come on now.
You get in my car.
You know?
It's like, homeless guys in the what? And he was doing what? Yeah, I'm going.
All right, we'll send the fire department around and hose his ass down.
I'm going to get some donuts. I'm not arresting that.
Yeah, that's just... Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
347-826-7435. Yeah, that's the number.
That's the number.
That's the number, man. That's the one they gave us.
Anyway, there was a study.
A study?
Yeah, you know how I feel about these studies.
No, how do you feel about these studies?
Well, these studies, man, they be tripping me out. You know, if they not trying to flash lights on little mice penises to see if it get hard, you know.
Okay, that was weird, but okay.
That was a study. You remember that one. They was like flashing lights on mice penises and they get hard. I'm like, I wouldn't have wanted to be the assistant on that one.
Who's paying for who's? What school is this? Is this some school like up in Canada or overseas? Because it's never really a school in America. It's somewhere. It's always somewhere like University of Nova Scotia. You know, they must not have much else to do. You know.
Well, there was a study survey of Pew Research Center released today. Saying that 56 million in recent years, they're saying that the number of Americans who don't affiliate with a particular religion has grown to 56 million. They're saying that the researchers call the nuns the second largest in total number behind evangelicals.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, there's a lot of people disconnecting from what they what's considered like formalized religion. Yeah.
Right. And so between 2007 and 2014, when they conducted the two major surveys of U.S. religious life, they say Americans who describe themselves as atheist, agnostic, or no particular faith grew from 16% to nearly 23%.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly believe that. I can see that happen.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, because they say in America is becoming less Christian and more secular, and I'm saying, when were you ever Christian?
Well, I mean, again, when you hear about these studies and, you know, it's funny, like they'll throw the term America, you know, they'll throw out just say America. But in reality, why don't they just say the demographic that they targeted? You know what I'm saying? Because there's no way in the world you're going to survey, well, damn near 260 million people. You know what I'm saying? On any given subject at any given time. So maybe that 30,000, you know, or 40,000 people that they demograph, you know, that's how they come up with these studies. It's like, okay, you did this study and what? You found out something 7 years ago that's gotten even bigger 7 years later. So what do you think the reason or the root of all this is?
Well, we know. Yeah. They know that you're a lying bastard.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, among other things.
Speaking of that, I mean, just to kind of change the subject, you know Creflo's getting that $65 million jet, right?
Yeah.
He went on GoFundMe or whatever, you know, he got it funded through one of those one of those sites.
Right.
So that I can understand why a lot of people just kind of walk, black folk at least walk away from, the church because, stuff like this.
Well, I mean, it's never not happened. And you're walking away from a body that never really supported you anyway. I mean, I won't hold everyone who believes.
Well, you know, none of us were born religious.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, on the whole, it has failed us. I mean, obviously, from the jump, you talk about all the major religions. They all turned that blind eye when it came to slavery and the oppression of so-called minorities and women. Always has. And I haven't seen anything that would change it.
Well, that's true, but in my opinion, the slavery and oppression part of it were around before religion even came into play.
What? Okay.
Well,
I believe it was, because you got to remember, if we're going to take it all the way back to Africa, before the Europeans, or what we will call the Europeans, they brought religion to Africa.
Well, no, that would be incorrect, my brother.
They brought their beliefs. I'll put it that way.
Right, the Kemetic Book of the Dead.
Well, no, right. We had that, but what I'm saying is, once certain peoples were, forced to learn a different way of life and a different way of belief, that's where everything went wrong.
Well, they didn't have religion. Remember, they had their, mythology.
They had their gods.
Right, which is religion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, they kind of borrowed, and then...
Oh, they did borrow. I mean, come on. How are you going, even now, and I know I'm kind of going off script, nowadays you got, you have Africa, you have everything that was created in Africa, but...
What they did in Africa.
Right, but now, they're trying to say there's a difference between what was taught or created in Africa from what was taught in Greece. Now, the Greek gods. And last time I checked, wasn't that part of Africa?
Well, last time I checked, the first Bible was written in Greek. Some would say that Josephus ghost wrote the Bible, but that would be speculation and hearsay. But
heresy.
Yes, good old heresy. Yeah, so
people are like, they talking about religion. Oh no, I can't listen to this anymore.
And hell is a Greek word for underground. I mean, see, it's one of those things where if you understand the etymology of things, of the words.
Yeah, you know, broke out his thesaurus. Say that one again. Say that word.
Etymology.
He then went and got him a thesaurus and just.
You understand where it comes from. You understand what the original intent was. Now, whether or not the intent has been changed, some people will say, oh, the intent has changed, but it has not. I mean, you could say that hell, the concept of hell, comes from Dante's Inferno, which is the book that I personally own, where he talks about, and it was a comedy satire play, and that was incorporated into your religion. So, one of those things. But
on a lighter note.
Yeah, on a lighter note.
I had something.
Get on your lighter note.
You know, Master P's got a new reality show coming out. I figure I'd bring it on. I mean, that's one of your homeboys. You know, he's down there from the L.
One of my homeboys, he's hanging out.
That's one of your peoples,
Okay, he's got a reality show. Yay. Yeah, another reality show.
I'm just saying, what else we got? You know, let's kill these last couple of minutes.
Okay, well, you sound like you trying to kill something. You killing my...
Nah, I just thought I'd bring up that because, it was getting a little bit deep. You know, we was going too deep with that.
Go deep?
We can, but it's always... See, we it's not like we were agreeing or disagreeing, but if we had a third party in that, then it would have been really interesting.
Well, I mean, third party, as far as threesome goes...
here you go. Oh, by the way, I'd like to give a shout out to all my listeners.
Yeah, okay. Anyway,
I waited. How long did I wait?
Yeah, you waited a while.
And all I said was what? Give a shout out to the listeners.
I was told by Ms. Drama that she'll be able to rejoin us, so we'll be able to do it.
Who's playing? Ms. Drama's coming back?
Ms. Drama back. So we will definitely be.
Okay.
A tad bit more controversial. Anyway, shout out to Ms. Drama, because she be ghost listening and trying to dig knives in on the low. On the low. She's a knife thrower, like literally a knife thrower.
Well, I come with AK-47s and machine guns, so.
All right. Yeah. I'll let y'all do that. Speaking of because, you asked me earlier about going back to the old school. Well, going older than old school, Albert Woodfox
those of you who don't know. He's one of the last of the three high-profile Louisiana prisoners known as the Angola Three.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be set free here in a few days.
How long he been in? It's been a minute.
Man.
A long minute.
He should have been the U.S. District Judge James Brady, the judge who was overseeing the case, said Monday that the 68-year-old former Black Panther Party prison leader should be granted immediate freedom and not tried again in the death of a prison guard stabbed to death during prison upheavals in 1972. And he said, and this is his words, "The only just remedy is an unconditional writ of habeas corpus barring retrial of Mr. Albert Woodfox and releasing Mr. Woodfox from custody immediately."
So they're trying to hurry up and speed up and get him out of there. They must realize, you know, something ain't right. You know, they're just trying to hurry up, you know, brush over. So if they let him out so soon, they're going to give him any payback, you know,
well,
some survival money for his 40-plus years being locked up?
In solitary confinement.
Man ain't going to know nothing. He ain't probably seen a computer, don't know what a text meant, don't know none of that. Last time he even saw, like, music, like, I don't say he's probably heard music, but come on, now it was on the A-track.
Yeah, it wasn't even the A-track.
Yeah, it was, or reel to reel, yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, yeah, he's finally going to get out.
I hope he still got family around that, you know, that's there for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and, I mean, it's one of those, I don't know how to take this one because we're talking about a former leader of the Black Panther Party being locked up forever. I mean, 40 years. I don't think people understand. Well, there's 40 years where you get to talk to other people in jail, and then there's 40 years by yourself.
I got no comment on that.
Yeah, I can't think of anything more cruel or debilitating than making someone go through 40 years by themselves.
Well, I mean, look at the system. Look who's in control of it.
Yeah. And, you know, shout out to Mr. Woodfox. Our hearts go out to you. And I hope that you can find some semblance of peace in getting out in a world that's changed, that probably is going to really, really disappoint you once you're out.
Oh, it definitely is. He's going to look at you know, us in particular. You know, the people that he was fighting for, the people that he was looking to help, you know, uplift. And he's going to look at us and be like,
this,
"What the hell?
That I went through all that for this."
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure it'd be kind of sad, but at the same time, we're still here, and there's still hope to be had. I mean, as you would say, we want to stay positive and hope that one day it will be that time where it does work out.
I try to stay positive.
You try to stay positive?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I try.
Don't forget, ladies. Come on now. It's never too late. Send those pics in.
Where are they going to send the pics in, man?
They're going to send them in to smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
All right.
Or they can go on to the Facebook page and drop them there.
Dude, we got a Facebook page.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have, you know, you can and you can find them on my Facebook page. Send me an email and I will email you back with the information to smoothdrama.com. Email me at smoothdrama.com and, you know, I'll email you back.
For Mr. J, I am, of course, Mr. Edward. This was another Smooth Drama presentation. Please shut him up, ladies. We out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth.
She is the lady with her hands up.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Smooth.